So, retrospectors, what historical events are we ticking off on this week's run of Today in History?
Well, on Monday, it's the anniversary of the table knife being invented.
On Tuesday, we explain how the tradition of the two-minute silence originated in Cape Town.
On Wednesday, we recall the day King George III proved he was assassin-proof.
On Thursday, let's all eat cake. It's Marie Antoinette's wedding.
And on Friday, we discover how Buffalo Bill helped invent the Wild West.
We discuss this and more on Today in History with the Retrospectors. 10 minutes each weekday, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights.
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, the F1 podcast that makes FIA steward decisions look fast and accurate.
We will have finished all of our thoughts within 20 seconds of this podcast ending.
I'm demoting my thoughts 5 minutes now, so my next thought will be in 5 minutes' time. Bye.
Yeah, I'm not going to make any more thoughts for the rest of this podcast.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, the intimidating F1 podcast.
No. No, Ollie. No.
Stop intimidating me.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, the F1 podcast that never worries about going too far.
You should hear the stuff that's on the cutting room floor.
Especially all the stuff when I'm slagging off my...
5 second penalty.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, the F1 podcast that makes more than 1,200 mistakes per episode.
Okay, here goes. Nigel Mansell is a badger. Max Verstappen once put a banana in his ear. I can't think of any more drivers. Oh, God.
I mean, the last one's true.
Oh, shit.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, the F1 podcast that will surely, at some point, be protested by Aston Martin.
I'd like to think that someone called Aston Martin will just leave us a negative comment on iTunes.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, the podcast F1 deserves. I'm Ollie Peart, here to advise you on the tricky navigation of the Austrian Grand Prix. We'll be trying in vain to avoid breaching any limits, and any conclusions we reach will be changed 5 hours after the podcast is released. Because that's the F1 way. Prepare yourself for entertainment and farcical chaos in equal measure. That's all to come. Joining me is a man who is wise now. It's Phil Tromans.
I am. I feel like I've sort of reached another plane of existence, of knowledge, of understanding. Because it was my birthday yesterday, so I'm a year older, a year wise. Well, actually, no, I'm a day older and a day wise. I don't know why they say a year.
Happy birthday, Phil.
Thanks very much.
If you were a driver, which driver would you be?
Well, I've shared a birthday with Sebastian Vettel, so I guess him. Okay. In that I should retire and have not been as good as I used to be for quite a while now.
So
and are
those,
you more maybe. Conscious of the environment?
You do yeah. Also have quite bad hair these days.
Actually, quite similar to Sebastian Vettel's. His is a bit curlier, but the whole long thing.
Never, yeah. But you never had 4 world championships.
Well, not in F1, but as we all know, there's more than just F1 if you want to be a world champion. I've got 2 Formula E world championships. Does that count?
No. Actually. No.
Yeah, no, definitely not. And beside him is a man who has been to London. London! Oh. It's Terry Saunders.
So since we last did a podcast, I had a long weekend in London. I went to see the popular band Pulp play at Finsbury Park, which was very exciting.
You've always liked new music, haven't you?
Do you know what? I've always liked Pulp, Phil. I've got a glass.
They are very good, in fairness.
They were supported by Wet Leg, who are a band that I've actually... Oh. Already seen in Berlin because I do like new music. So.
Wet Leg.
Is there anything more hipster than seeing Wet Leg in Berlin?
What's more hipster is me seeing him in Berlin after liking the album and saying to my friend at the time, oh, I didn't really like them live.
Ollie, welcome back. What have you been up to?
What have I been
What's
up
going
to?
On?
Well, since I last saw you, I have I have been hosting a Formula One documentary for the BBC.
Ooh. I mean, that's very kind of you to say. We're not a documentary. No. I know it does sound like we are. And we're not the BBC either, although the production quality is great.
Yes.
So I think you've got your facts mixed up there.
Oh, right. Okay. No, but I have. It was serendipitous. That's the word I'm going to use.
But that's a good title.
It sort of ended up. Yeah, that should have been the title. But that's what I've been doing, and it's been.
Well, plug it. Plug it. What's it about?
It's called. It's about Silverstone, because Silverstone is celebrating its 75th anniversary this year, or 75 years of Formula One anyway. And it's called Corner by Corner Silverstone. We've got Claire Williams. I spoke to.
Oh, yeah, she's good.
Jodie Scheckter.
Oh, he's a world champion.
He is.
And a cheese man.
And a cheese man. Although I think he's moving to Italy, maybe to eat more cheese. I don't know. We spoke to a couple of marshals who were the first people to attend to Michael Schumacher when he broke his leg in 1999.
Oh.
Yeah. They were really fascinating. And a super fan of Max Verstappen, who was at Cops Corner in 2021 and saw him smash into the wall. And he was one of the people.
And thought that was just a racing incident.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And they.
Lewis Hamilton is trying to kill him. He's trying to put him in off balance. He doesn't give a shit.
That's
amazing Dutch
accent.
That's
pretty much it. That's pretty much what we're doing. That was a good Dutch accent. Yeah, it's very good.
Oh, that sounds excellent, and we should listen to it.
You should go and listen to it. You can hear it on BBC Sounds, isn't it? Let's roll into the obvious metaphor of Listener's Corner, where actually nothing is off limits. Everyone is obviously talking about track limits, which is actually a bit of a shame, as it was a decent race weekend. Phil Pitt Matthews says, you're going to have to do a second podcast 5 hours after the initial podcast to make sure you're discussing the revised results. Jarmel McLoof, have I said that right? Probably not, says, it's a good effort, isn't it? Jarmel McLoof says, Esteban Ocon decided to create his own configuration of the Red Bull ring this weekend. I haven't seen someone penalised this much since Esteban Ocon. Will Bowen says, you should get a message from Ocon. He made sure he had an extra 30 seconds to record something for you. Tom Murray says, I'm honestly surprised the safety car didn't get a 5 seconds penalty for exceeding track limits. And Jamie Turner says, F1 in 2023, utilising the rules to advantage yourself is unsporting behaviour. Attempting to overtake someone is intimidating, and all results should be set by the stewards after the race. Ryan Chapman says, the top three managed to stay on track enough to not get a penalty. Maybe they are better drivers.
Right. First of all, bullshit, Ryan. They did. You know full well, like we all do, that it came from up high. Don't affect the podium. You can penalise everyone else, but don't affect the podium, because we don't want to have that kind of headline.
Conspiracy.
Because if
yeah, we wouldn't want it to look bad, would we?
If that many people did off-track excursions on that last corner, there is no way that the top three were unaffected, because surely they'd be much slower if they were following the rules.
Because they're just so good, and the other guys are all shit. So if you're Perez, Leclerc, or Verstappen, you're a brilliant driver who doesn't make mistakes,
except
apart from Perez
and
Leclerc.
It all seems a bit fast-forward and silly. All of this, I was wondering, because Wimbledon's kicked off, hasn't it? Obviously, and they've got Hawkeye. So yep. Why can you not have Hawkeye for cars? Why the hell does that not exist?
I say exactly the same thing.
Well, if you think how...
Well, it's in Wimbledon, so they'd have to bring it over.
If you think how long a tennis court is compared to a Formula One track, you'd need
close,
a much longer Hawkeye.
Yeah, but surely...
Several hawks.
Yeah, you've got...
A flock.
This is it. If you can broadcast from multiple cameras on a car that's doing 200 miles an hour all the way around the world, you must be able to see when a fucking car goes over a line.
But
only
Hawkeye, Hawks, VAR...
Hawks are endangered species.
So F1's credibility.
Zing. You'd have to be farming hawks at this rate.
Sure.
To get that many eyes.
I don't mind if it's farmed.
Battery hawks, it's not a problem.
Mm. Oh, then
battery technology's improved a lot.
Look, I'm going to talk about this more in the state of everyone, but I also think it's ridiculous, because I think there is clearly ways around this, and I will never get over F1's capability to both stand on a rake and shoot itself in the foot at the same time.
Oh, ball boys. They could just have ball boys. They'd be better. Just lining the entire track.
It's a little bit Tom Price, isn't it? No, I don't think that's a good idea.
Oh, okay.
Who's Tom Price?
Yeah, who is Tom
Price?
Well,
look it up. But don't look it up. Not
really?
On a work computer.
Oh, was that the marshal that died?
Yeah.
Oh, fucking hell, Phil.
you bring that up for?
Don't lower the tone. We're making a joke. We didn't really, me and Ollie didn't really think, oh, let's have ball boys there that they can be smashed at smithereens by the aero.
I can never tell because it's your solution to so many things. It's like, oh, ball boys.
I know, but ball boys would be the solution to so many things. Imagine, all right.
This is why we haven't got Manscaped back, Terry.
Imagine you're in a parochial town centre on a Friday night and there's a fight's breaking out. Mm-hmm. And if there were like young posh boys in blazers along the edge of the high street, there would just be less fights.
Well, I think you're thinking about line judges.
But yes, because ball boys kind of stand about. I was actually thinking of ball boys.
But now
boys
I'm back on board. If we're talking line judges,
yes,
who just stand there with their hands on their knees.
Yeah, just right goes, by out! The lines.
Exactly.
I applied to be a line judge once. Did I tell you that story?
I've wow. not heard this. This is amazing. Let's hear it.
That is honestly, an image I would love to see.
I think it was because I was bored, but I found out that being a line judge is it's a volunteer job, like marshals in Formula One. Mm. And I found out you could just go and apply. So I went to like a tennis training academy near Gloucester. And I got berated at for like 2 hours because I wasn't shouting loud enough whilst young tennis wunderkinds twatted balls at me at 200 miles an hour, and it's fucking terrifying. And then I didn't get through to round two.
That's amazing. Wow.
So I always have respect for those line judges, especially the ones that look as if they can't shout and then they shout.
Well, they're going to be out of a job, aren't they? Because we just go with the Hawkeye. Let's just get rid of them.
ChatGPT, mate, just go.
Oh, shit, just have that sat on the side. AI.
That was the Austrian Grand Prix.
Done. Wrapped up. Finished. In other news, just as we've got used to Toro Rosso being AlphaTauri, now they're bloody changing it again. Helmut Loudmouth Marco said last week that the Red Bull Junior team is likely to have new sponsors and a new name for next year, although it'll still harvest as many parts from Red Bull Racing as possible. We've asked this before, but what is the point of AlphaTauri exactly?
I mean, I'm still not sure now. Originally, it was to get the young drivers, but now it's like to get any old driver.
No, actually,
and maybe old drivers again if Nick De Vries gets replaced with Danny Ricciardo, as he might.
I don't think that's even quite true, though, was it? Because wasn't it a quirk of the rules? Because wasn't it when the F1 teams were trying to push to have proper official B teams, and a B team would be a literal feed into the 80, it would just be like a doubling of the budget and then give them the sloppy second cars. But then the rules changed, I think, quite late on, but AlphaTauri, Toro Rosso had already been kind of, they'd already bought Minardi, which is why we've got this kind of slightly ludicrous rule thing of like, oh, you can have some parts, but not all parts. And you have to design your own car, but you can't, you know, but you can basically have the same car. But blah, 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 blah. So in that way, Toro Rosso, AlphaTauri, whatever, have actually never really had a purpose, apart from then, like you say, to fuck around with drivers who will get
and
their careers.
And to hawk expensive fashion. And soon to hawk other stuff, apparently, because it sounds like they're going to loosen the sort of the Red Bull connection a little bit, and maybe they'll have somebody else's brand.
But also, wasn't
maybe?
It a thing that Dietrich Mateschitz has said in his will or something, he didn't want to sell it, he wanted it to stay as part of Red Bull. And it seems that,
dying words, yes.
Yeah, nobody else wants to keep it, so they're just going to run it to the ground, I think. It'll be like... You know, like, on my visit to London, I went down Oxford Street, and there's a lot of American sweet shops in Oxford Street now. So I think it will be called the American Candy Team, and you'll go in there and just be like, "How's he making any money?" And it'll just be just pick and mix.
So it's going to be a front.
Yeah, whenever there's a pit stop, some bonbons will drop out.
It's going to be a front, and one of the drivers will be Nikita Mazepin.
Oh, Nikita, you will never know where did that money go. 1,000 Russian sanctions in a row. Oh no. I watched Elton John's set at Glastonbury on the telly.
Did he sing that?
He didn't sing that, but he does seem to sing like the Vic Reeves Club singer. Did you notice that?
Very much so.
Yeah.
Lived his life like a killing wind.
It was good though.
Obviously. Obviously, we're all very excited about the new engine rules that F1 will adopt in 2026 because they're sure to make racing even better, as all the past rule changes have done. But one person who is less than impressed is Max Verstappen, who says they look, quote, very bad and pretty terrible, according to the early simulations that Red Bull has come up with. What's this all about?
Well, he's winning, isn't he? If you're winning and they say, we're going to change something, you'd be like, oh, don't do that.
Yeah.
I like it like this.
I like it like that. There might be an element of that.
And also, I think Max Verstappen's a bit technically thick. So probably when they said, here are the simulations, someone's just drawn him a picture of like in Crayon or something, and he's going, I don't like it. Not as pretty as my real car. Why is it all flat?
It's way too small.
I can't fit in this.
It's like the Derek Zoolander of Formula One.
Imagine. I mean, he is, again, I mean, he's just, how many minutes was he ahead of everybody? Like 50 minutes or something stupid?
Oh, it wasn't that many in the end because he had an extra pit stop.
That was
end,
an absolute piss take. That was a piss take.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's called pit stop.
Yes. That was a piss take pit stop though, wasn't it? I mean, come on.
But on the sprint race, wasn't he like 28 seconds ahead of Perez or something in like 10 laps?
It's not close. It's not close. The thing about this engine thing, so that new engine regulations in 2026, which, and I'll be honest, I'm like Max Verstappen, I'm not very clever when it comes to this stuff, but the general gist is there's going to be a bigger split of electric power compared to internal combustion engine power. So it's going to be basically 50% from each, from engine and from electric motor. And the suggestion is that combined with a load of computer-controlled active aero stuff that apparently is going to come in, essentially, the cars are going to have to, well, Verstappen and Christian Horner reckon that the cars are going to have to downshift at the end of straights to change the ratio of power or something in order to harvest the batteries or something. And it's going to be really weird. You're going to see cars downshifting way before the end of a straight or something. And also the active aero coming on when drivers don't necessarily want it, i.e. them not having control over it, is also going to be a bit weird as well. He says, this is very bad. It's going to be awful and we should change it. Now, obviously, not everybody agrees, and everyone else is like, nah, I'll be fine.
I mean, there is... I mean, I don't trust Red Bull statements with a barge pole because they're often...
No.
They're very good at saying, oh, this is bad. Oh, you're bad.
You trust regulations to do exactly what they're designed to do?
Well, as soon as we all remember the knob-nosed cars, no, I don't. So no, I think there's a high chance that they could both be right and wrong. And F1 could be into another death spiral. But we'll be here to talk about it.
I mean, it will make for great content. So I, for one, wish them the best of luck with their hopeless endeavours.
But personally, selfishly, what we really want is for Formula One to get so shit that all the other podcasts that came after us and got more successful get bored. And we just carry on.
Most podcasts, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So we just carry, it's like hare and a tortoise. We are just carrying on doing our thing. And in about 10 years, we will hit peak relevancy when Formula One's global audience dips.
It's a good strategy.
Buy the dip.
Yeah.
We're like the crypto of Formula One podcasts. No, we're the NFTs.
But not the good crypto.
We never
not
made
like Bitcoin.
Any money. In
I'd argue the cassette tape. Because it's going to be a really long time, but that's starting to make a bit of a
comeback. That's coming back.
Yes, exactly.
Everybody loves the really shitty sound quality
coming
that
back.
Cassette would give you.
But we're not going to be the cassette tape because the cassette tape was once top of the market. We're more like the mini disc.
But that's never going to come back, is it?
Yeah.
I actually found one of those in my shed today, a mini disc.
Wow. Yeah, so I've got quite a few. I bought a few proper, you know, album mini discs, which I've still got them somewhere, and they give an interesting window into my musical taste at the time. The two I can remember were Mel C's solo album and I think
is
it This Is My Truth, Tell Me Yours by the Manics, which is not one of their best albums.
Oh my god,
I bet they cost you like 60 quid as well, weren't they? The proper albums on mini disc were really expensive.
No, I went fully in on mini disc thinking this is going to be the future.
Yes. Three days later, MP3 came along, didn't it?
Like, just to confirm, Pulp and Wet Leg, and you are, who was that again, sorry? The Manic Street Preachers and who?
Mel C.
Mel C.
Okay, just checking. Just checking if any.
Oh, he's just showing off how cool he is. Yeah.
What a collab with us. It's me you want to call.
I mean, the Manics at Glastonbury were very good.
Fuck the Manics. I've always hated the Manic Street. The Manic Street Sweepers, we used to call them.
They don't care for you.
Well, if you tolerate this, Phil.
Not finishing that off.
Speaking of changes, discussions have been reignited about whether there should be changes at Spa-Francorchamps after the death of another driver. Delano Fantoff died after being hit by another car in the Formula Regional European Championship race in an incident not dissimilar to a crash that killed Antoine Hubert in an F2 race back in 2019. Lance Stroll was strongly of the opinion that the track should be changed around Radion Bend into the Kemmel Strait, which is where both accidents occurred. Other drivers agreed that something needed to change, but some pointed at the very wet weather in the latest crash, suggesting that was more the issue.
Yeah, this is a tricky one that I think we need to kind of mention because it's something that could have implications in Formula One, particularly as we're going to Spa in a few weeks. But it's a big old shame, and it's especially distressing that it was so similar to the crash that killed Hubert at the F1 weekends a few years ago. Toe, did you see or hear about this?
Yeah, so I've caught up on this today, and I think, I mean, my view is quite simple, actually, which is if the same accident has happened at the same corner twice, then something needs to change.
Yeah.
It does seem to be pretty simple in that way, really. It's just this can't go on.
As best I've heard, the discussion seemed to be, should you change the track? So obviously years ago, I can't remember when it was, they actually put a chicane in at Eau Rouge, didn't they? And it was from a spectacle point of view, it was a bit rubbish. So I think a lot of people are like, no, no one do that. And a lot of people are saying, but the tradition, and I don't want to do that down because tradition, you know, is important and we all like it. But at the same time, we're talking about, you know, repeated similar accidents, as you said. So some people are saying, slow the cars down there. Some people are saying that this particular accident was maybe more to do with the fact that the race had been restarted after a safety car, I think, in horrendous weather, which looking at it was like, why have you restarted that? And that maybe was a thing. And then other people are saying, well, this is the issue of that corner. If a car goes off, loses control coming through Eau Rouge and Radial, hits the wall, they get bounced back into the track. And the same thing happened to Vantoff that happened to Hubert, was that he crashed, went sideways, and then another car came spearing in very high speeds and hit him. So it seems to me that maybe some sort of combination of everything might work. I mean, firstly, don't race in stupid conditions, especially, you know, when they're going that kind of speed. Secondly, if they're going to go off, let's change the track to make it that they stay off and they don't bounce back into traffic. And to be honest, the actual reduction of speed, I think if you can do those things, then maybe it's less of a concern. But what do you guys reckon?
Well, in a kind of ironic similarity to the race this weekend, you know, the reason there were so many penalties for the time, the track limits this weekend, was because it was all on one particular corner. And they're now talking about changing that corner next year so there won't be as many rule breakings as there are. And it's, you know, obviously the consequences are far more dire, but it's the same thing. If you stop this corner being as unsafe, then you're not going to have these kind of accidents and we won't be having these kind of discussions, which is the journey that Formula One and motorsport's been on for 30 years now. It's, you know, it was all about making it safer. And we have to admit that although Belgium is everyone's favourite track and it's old and it's got all the history of the heritage, it was a track designed for very different cars and, you know, and it's because I think ironically Formula One is kind of a bit safer there because they don't even do it full whack anymore. You know, they can lift off where you used to have to lift off through bits of Eau Rouge. They can all just do it full pelt because the cars have got so much more weight and body and traction and everything. And I think
they have already.
Yeah,
I mean, they have. If we're taking Spa as the example, they have already massively neutered Spa. Remember what Spa used to be back in the sort of the 50s and the 60s.
Exactly. Yeah.
So they've got rid of a big chunk of the circuit because, you know, trying to go through the master kink now in a Formula One car would be absolute suicide. You know, there were houses next to the track, all this kind of stuff.
So if there's anything that Formula One has got consistently is change. So let's change Spa, please.
Yeah. I mean, I think priority should be stopping the cars bouncing back in. You know, I'm less bothered about them flying off at, you know, 150 miles an hour, however fast it is through there, if they're not going to bounce back in again. So maybe that's something they could look at. But something obviously needs to be done. You can't have two accidents almost identical, a few variables aside, and just go, it'll be fine.
Yeah. No, I agree. You know, similar incidents, same spot, very few years apart. it's a bit of a no-brainer, isn't it? You've got to do something. Now, tell us how wrong we are. You can tweet us at For F1's Sake, or find us on Facebook where we're For F1's Sake, or email us at wrong@ff1s.com. Alternatively, if you think we're right, why not buy us a beer? That's what Ray Glennon did, who left us a message as well. He said, cheers, I hope this meagre contribution helps keep you pleasantly tipsy during this, the longest and arguably the dumbest of all F1 seasons. Much love from Seattle. Ooh.
Thanks, Ray.
That's very nice.
It's very nice of him.
I really like Seattle, and I really like beer, so this is ticking all my boxes.
Fraser country.
It wasn't my first go-to, but yeah, I like Fraser as well. Why not?
Plus, we also celebrate our long-term supporters for being the top champs they are. So please, let us thank Andrew Cunningham, Andy Wallington, yes. Keith Russell, Neil Fraser, Keith Faulkner, Bernal Bohr, Chris Lee, Jenny and Ralph, Brynard, and yes. Bryce Davies.
Well done, legends, people.
Join them. Join them all. Head to ff1s.com/pint. Imagine all the team living life in peace.
Oh.
You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one.
I'm not sure now that John Lennon ever died.
Your face, Terry's making absolute despair. He likes Wet Leg and Elton John. And
yeah, he doesn't like the Beatles. He's way too cool for the Beatles.
No, they're too mainstream.
Unlike Elton John.
I'm thinking more that our jobs are safe. The threat of AI.
Well, let's start. Red Bull. Verstappen won, blah, 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 blah. Here's more incisive commentary from our correspondent, Matt Bryant.
Red Bull. Max Verstappen continued his bid to make F1 a multi-class series, being in one of his own. He even had time to pit for new tyres, grab a coffee, look around the shops and get his kids a crap plastic toy before setting the fastest lap of the race and taking yet another win. Perez had a tougher weekend, dealing with a fever and sickness, qualifying a lowly 15th. But he battled his way through to finish on the podium, probably because he was the only one to stay within track limits. No Nigel Mansell-style vomit in the helmet, though. Shame.
I've got to take issue with one thing you said. I don't think he was buying his kid's stuff. He was buying Danny Kvyat's kid's stuff, because he's married to Danny Kvyat's ex.
Oh, I thought you meant Sergio Perez, because I thought that
no!
was...
No! Well, that would be incestuous.
That's a good soap opera. maybe that's how Perez is going to win the championship. He's going to mindfuck Verstappen by going, oh, I bought your stepkids' presents. That's okay, isn't it?
He's going to steal Verstappen's stolen kids.
And then he's going to say, I won't tell you where... It'll be like Taken with Liam Neeson. It'll phone him and just... I'm going to stress here. I've never seen Taken, but I've seen enough people take the piss out of Taken that I reckon I can do a pretty good job. So go he's going to phone Liam Neeson. Who's in Taken?
Do you remember Perez would do that, and then he'd wonder why his plan hadn't worked.
Liam Neeson is in Taken, but you wouldn't phone... Yeah, yeah. He would phone Liam Neeson. No.
Yeah.
Okay, would to ask
Liam
for
Max
a favour.
Verstappen, maybe?
No, because Liam Neeson is playing Max Verstappen in this...
Right.
Oh, okay. I don't see it, but yeah, go on, carry on.
And he would be there going, I will get my children from you.
That's Paisley, isn't it?
And... Never.
No.
Keep going. Please carry on. Perez hasn't got a chance. I want to see how it goes on. Please carry on.
So Perez would call Liam Neeson played by Max Verstappen. No, Max Verstappen played by Liam Neeson.
Sure.
And say, I've got your kids. They're somewhere. What's the last race this year? Abu Dhabi again. They're somewhere at the track in Abu Dhabi. Oh, hang on. That's Perez saying that. He'd be Mexican. They're somewhere at the track in Abu Dhabi. And... if you win the championship, they will die.
You're listening to Inside the Actor's Studio.
That was brilliant. What a drama.
I have a very particular set of skills, which is keeping tyres alive for a long time.
Hang on, so you're saying that Liam Neeson is playing Sergio Perez?
Oh, is that what's happening? Oh, I'm getting very confused. Liam Neeson's doing... It's a one-man play. With Liam Neeson playing every
Edinburgh
role.
Fringe show.
It's just a dramatic reenactment of a fantastical... I think this is great. We should write this and put it on. It's Is Radio 4 looking for any plays? I reckon always. We could get this sorted.
Always looking for a play. It's 24 hour plays.
That shit they put on there.
Yeah. First thing in the morning is a play.
What are we talking about? Oh yeah, Red Bull.
Yes, Red Bull. What about Verstappen and Perez's little punch up after the sprint?
Yes. Was there maybe trouble in paradise? By which I mean Verstappen's paradise. Mm. Did you see this on the Saturday?
Saw them having a chat. Yeah, I saw. Well, chat.
The race started and Perez actually got ahead of Verstappen, not very long, but for a bit. And Verstappen was, as far as I could tell, furious that anyone had the temerity to overtake him. And at the same time, Perez wasn't very impressed because Verstappen did his normal, fairly aggressive defending. And then I think they came together at the end and decided that probably they shouldn't have a massive falling out in front of the cameras, and now apparently everything is fine. But I can't help thinking that the power dynamic there is very much in Verstappen's corner.
Well, it's what we want, isn't it? We want Perez to lose his shit and have a big punch up with Verstappen. That's the only interest we're going to get this year is if Perez... well, somehow stops finishing 15th and also hates Verstappen.
I was expecting Verstappen to come out the car and start, you know, being a bit cocky and aggressive towards him. So, what are we doing? And Perez just loses his shit and just nuts him. Very amusing.
It would be entertaining.
And just walks off with two middle fingers up to everyone.
And then Daniel Ricciardo gets into the Red Bull and wins the championship.
And turns out to be much better than Verstappen now because he's done so much simulator work. Apparently he's been very good on the old simulator.
Give that boy a lollipop.
They're going to give him a test and see if he's still good, and then they'll probably give him Nick De Vries' seat.
Oh.
Or maybe Liam Lawson, I don't know. We'll get to that. But anyway, Perez. Everyone was sort of hailing him on the Sunday. It's like, what a great job to come through from 15th. It's like, yeah, but he was 15th. Like, yes, well done to come through to third in the best car by a country mile. But you're only coming through from 15th because you were lousy in qualifying. So, I don't know. I don't see why everyone is giving Perez such a fun time this weekend. He's still not doing anywhere near well enough.
Ooh!
Do you disagree?
I don't disagree. I'm indifferent, really. I'm just getting bored of seeing Red Bulls.
I sort of am, really, but we're trying to film.
I'm just
time,
getting bored of seeing them win all the time, so actually it's quite nice. I think Perez is doing us all a favour by fucking it up and messing up.
Yeah, the comment from Matt about multi-class racing is, it might as well be. You know, they're basically like a sort of the opposite of a safety car at this point. They're just going much faster than everybody else to sort of clear the way.
Mm.
And the real racing's going on behind.
No, the opposite of a safety car would be a danger car, which is something I would like to liven up boring race weekends.
What, Bert Mylander, after he's had a few drinks, comes just out.
Knives on the wheels, you know, oil slicks, all that kind of thing.
It's like Mad Max. Yeah, amazing. Yeah. Bernie Eccleston on the front with a big guitar.
Playing The Chain by Fleetwood Mac.
Ferrari? Let's have a Ferrari update this week from Dawn Janacek.
Ferrari. In typical Ferrari fashion, they fought with each other more than their Red Bull bookends for most of the race. On the one occasion they didn't shoot themselves in their Gucci loafers, a yellow flag early in the race, right as Ferrari was passing pit in, looked like they'd lose out on the fresh tires nearly every other team was able to swing in for. But then, in an oddly well-orchestrated move, they successfully double-stacked on the next lap. In the end, Leclerc took second for Ferrari's 800th podium, and Sainz was relegated to sixth after penalties were assessed for, track limits.
They're due one, aren't they? We'll let them have it.
Yeah, I was watching qualifying on the Saturday and I was literally typing a tweet at the time saying, I wonder how long before Ferrari mess up. And then they said, and Sainz's car isn't working, he's stuck in the pits. Which seemed like, well, there it is. But then they managed to get his car fixed and he went out and immediately went fastest. So luck was clearly on their side. They're clearly doing something right. The trouble is, they're Ferrari.
It's July. Nothing fucking matters anymore, does it?
Well, that's true. Yeah, I mean, how far ahead is Verstappen now?
3,000 points.
I think he's won next year's championship already. So yes. Nobody really needs to worry about it. It's just a battle for, I guess, second at this point. But they're not second anymore. Did they drop down? Are they fourth now? I've lost track.
Hold the line, caller.
You're right, they are fourth.
which is impressive against Mercedes, who haven't really got their act together, and Aston, who only have one driver, although more on that later. So, yeah, I guess a second of the six is actually pretty good, and it would have been even better had Sainz not
cheated.
Got the track limits thing. Yes, it's been a flagrant, horrendous cheat. But, you know, I mean, we can hope against hope that they might get their asses in gear and provide some sort of consistent challenge, but I'm not holding my breath.
Sorry, I was holding my breath.
That's why it's important that one of us doesn't.
Do you think Leclerc will stick around?
Well, his contract's up soon, isn't he? He's about to be in, or he is in negotiations for a new contract.
Mm. Where would he go if he didn't?
Well, I think there's interest in him. I've heard rumours, or I've heard of interest from, he says, trying to remember, I think Mercedes and Aston Martin. And I could potentially see him at either of those teams in terms of a fit with, I mean, Lance Stroll's not going anywhere, is he? Or is he? I don't know. We'll come to that. But the thing is, Leclerc, I mean, did really love Ferrari. I think he was Ferrari Academy, wasn't he, or something? He's been with them for years. But surely there must come a time when you're like, I'm so sick of being let down.
Well, we've talked about it before. Like, he's now learned the hard way what really history should have showed him was going to definitely happen, which is Ferrari will absolutely fuck his career.
Yeah, career enders, yeah.
So, you know, he'll have options. I think he'd be stupid to stay at Ferrari. I think other teams would be stupid not to get him. So I think he'll be okay. I'm not going to worry about
him. He's maybe not an absolute top-tier driver, because I think he makes too many mistakes, but he's well up there.
But is he not a bit of a Vettel in that way, which is he'll make mistakes when he's frustrated, but I would imagine, put him in a Red Bull this year, he'd walk it.
Possibly, but I think he's, without having specific examples to claw on, I think that he would be better. I think he can drive anything well, whereas I think Vettel was very much like, I need my perfect car to be brilliant, and then I'll be very brilliant. But if the car's not brilliant, I can't make it too much. Whereas I think Leclerc can, but he does make too many little mistakes still, which at this stage of his career, he should have ironed out by now. And that's why I don't put him quite as high as, well, Verstappen and Hamilton and Alonso, if you don't factor in the politics of negotiating team relationships.
McLaren! Thought I'd just shout that in your face. Both McLarens were out of the points at the previous race, but in Austria, they had an upgrade. Well, Lando Norris did, and he managed a fourth-place start and a fourth-place finish. Is this just McLaren being good in Austria, or might they have finally managed to stop the rot?
It's cautiously encouraging, I think. I mean, to go from no points to a fourth and no points, because Piastri, A, had the old car and decided to take his wing off right at the start of the race. I think it was good. I mean, they have, from memory, always been fairly decent to Austria. And Norris is very good. But, yeah, why not? Let's say that McLaren are back and this is going to be it until they have their stupid new livery that they just announced today. Do we want to talk about that? Have you seen that?
I have seen
Oh, I haven't seen it. No,
what? Oh,
It's harking back to the old one, isn't it?
Well, they've said, so you remember they've got Google Chrome as a sponsor, and they said, right, Chrome livery, we're going to do Chrome. We all remember the Chrome liveries of the past. And if you Google it, you'll see what they've come up with.
It's just that with a daub of orange on it, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a spiker or a Force India. Very disappointing.
Fuck's sake.
Terry's face.
I know.
Well, it's just, it doesn't work because Google Chrome isn't shiny. You don't think of Google Chrome and go, oh, foil. They've just taken the word Chrome and gone, oh, we've got some of that foil left over from our glory days.
I was assuming that this is like sort of a throwback to what, 07, 08 kind of time?
I mean, to be honest, if they really want to make it like Chrome, they should just have it slow down the rest of the the race. Oh, they do? Okay, great.
Yeah, they should have loads and loads of tabs on the bodywork.
And it should be Control Q to quit. Press it again, because somehow I'm Chrome and I'm special. Because did you quit me by mistake? No, fuck off! I only use you for the fucking podcast. You, I'm a Safari man.
Safari, really?
Yeah.
I think they should have to drive it with a keyboard. That's what I think they should do.
Or like the submarine in the Titanic.
With a games controller. Norris would be good with that, wouldn't he? He's a gamer. He'd love that.
Okay, well, let's up the ante a bit. If they go off track, the car implodes.
Oh, dear.
Oh, fuck it. Some rich
That was beyond the limit.
I don't think it was. When billionaires die on a... If only there was an apt place for some billionaires to go on a stupid journey and die.
Well, that's our freebie trip to the Titanic.
Oh, yeah, no, they can keep it. Come on. Don't want that.
I still go down there.
The weird thing is,
the weird thing is, I was a huge Titanic nerd as a kid until the film came out, and then I hated it, so I was a bit of a hipster in that as well. So what I realised when this whole Titanic thing was happening was that I still had all those facts at my disposal. Like, a friend of mine was like, oh, how deep do you reckon it is? And I was like, 2.4 miles. It was amazing how those facts...
And you can still sing that Celine Dion song, can't you?
No, I hated the film, Phil. I had my own song, which was... The Titanic, it's gigantic. It had two sister ships, the Olympic and Britannic.
That's actually really good.
It was 992 feet long. It split in two, like I do.
I've got to check that. I want to just verify some of these facts that he's spitting out in his...
Okay,
rap.
Now I did remember 992 from memory, so let's see how close I was.
Okay,
how long was the Titanic?
How long is...
Or maybe it was 883. I think it was double number, single number.
Sorry, hold on. I'm using Chrome. It's taking a while. 269 metres. Well, that's not helpful, is it? 882.
Oh,
so close.
He's 100 feet out. That's not close.
But I knew it was double number two. So 992. I thought it was 992 or 883.
Yeah, you're singing this song, telling everybody all these facts. Oh,
if only somebody who had an interest in the Titanic wasn't so cavalier with their facts and measurements.
Yeah, it can go that deep. It'll be fine. Don't worry
about it.
Just back to McLaren briefly. When Piastri has the changes to his car, we'll know for sure, surely. Is that happening this now for the next race?
I'd be very surprised if they don't have them for Silverstone. It'd be pretty slack if you had changes for one driver and then the following race the track was literally, you know, relatively up the road from your factory and you were like, oh no, sorry Oscar, haven't gone.
We've been busy.
Sorry. Yeah, we got so drunk after that fourth place we just kind of forgot that you hadn't got them or that you drove for us.
Well, another Silverstone team, Aston Martin. Lance Stroll had a weekend that was actually not too bad. And he even beat Alonso in qualifying. Sure, he finished several places behind him, but it's progress, right? Otherwise, the Aston seemed a bit off the pace. Dodgy weekend for them, or are other teams catching up?
Bit of column A, bit of column B.
Yeah. Comme ci, comme ça. Swings and roundabouts. Horses for courses. Morecambe and Wise.
Never got horses for courses. I still don't get it. What does it mean?
Well, you've not been to France enough.
Okay.
I don't know what it means.
Because they eat horses.
I think I've eaten horse.
No, but is it...
Have you been to a Wimpy lately?
Is it a horse as in a horse on a race course?
The horses for courses.
Oh, it could be. I've always thought horses for courses as in food, but maybe not.
No, it's a British proverb saying that different people are suited to different things.
Yeah, but that makes no sense.
That.
A horse...
Oh, I see.
We know what it means, but where does it come from?
Oh, sorry. Stitching time saves nine. But this is a problem with just reading from the internet. I lack...
There's no problem with it. I enjoy
basic
it.
Basic comprehension skills, yes.
Phil, it's important we should iron that out. Oh, no, yeah, go on. Sorry, Aston Martin.
Well,
yeah.
Etymology is an allusion to the fact that the racehorse performs best on a racecourse to which it is specifically suited.
You knew what it meant about, like, for eating fucking horses. I didn't know what it meant, and I just took a shot in the dark and I got it right.
Well, what do you think happens to racecourses or racehorses when they're done with?
They get a shot in the dark. Well, that little tent that they
come
up with.
Aston Martin.
Yeah, Aston Martin. Yes. Yeah, go on.
Going back to them. Yeah, Stroll was all right. Alonso was a bit off his game. Everyone else is getting better. Aston need to make sure they carry on their momentum. Next.
Mercedes. Wingy Hamilton came to Austria this weekend letting rip with no end of complaints about front end grip and other people's track limits. Maybe he should have focused more on his own limits, what with getting 15 seconds of penalties. George Russell, meanwhile, was one of only two drivers not to infringe the rules, even though he was some way off Hamilton's pace. What's happened to Mercedes' upgraded pace?
Gone. Or at least they've not really ever been that good at Austria, have they? They've always been a bit rubbish there. So that was just this.
Did you hear Toto have a go at Hamilton?
We know the car is shit.
Just drive my shitty car.
Yeah.
Drive the car. We don't pay you to dig.
Who was the other driver that didn't break the rules?
Alonso.
Oh, it was Alonso, was it? Because George Russell, you just kind of expect that with him. He's so like...
Yeah, goody two-shoes.
Alonso got Lance Stroll to break all the rules for him.
Yeah.
Ooh,
both mad.
Too soon?
Nah. It's 15 years ago.
Fucking hell, is it? I remember talking about it on a podcast. That's depressing, isn't it?
But at least you're not Nelson Piquet Jr.
Is that all I've become? Is that going to be on my tombstone? You did a Formula One podcast for fucking 60 years of his life.
We've still got a fair way to go, though. That's all
before
right.
Thing being found dead in his apartment with the F1 streaming on his Apple Vision headset and his cat eating his dead flesh.
Trousers around his ankles and copies of Autocourse everywhere.
You know, on the Apple Vision headset, there's a thing where if you're in virtual reality mode and someone comes up to you, they'll kind of appear through whatever you're watching. Mm. That's just to stop wanking, isn't it? It's like, Ollie, I'm in the room. Oh, fuck.
They must have had to have tested that. Williams, Logan Sargeant was less terrible than he has been and finished in 13th place, just 2 places behind his teammate Alex Albon, although Albon did have 15 seconds of penalties for track limits. Is there any encouragement to be found for Sargeant here?
This was probably his best Grand Prix, which admittedly is not saying much. And it probably won't mean he keeps his drive if there's anybody even slightly qualified to take it next year. But, yeah, fine. Well done. Well done, Logan. You've achieved the absolute minimum acceptable.
Exactly. I mean, good on him. He can at least retire after his only season, knowing that he didn't fuck up every race.
Yeah, he can go and open a bar in Tenerife with Jaime Alguersuari.
Alpine. Pierre Gasly had a bang average weekend in that we don't remember ever seeing him, while Esteban Ocon completely failed to understand the concept of track limits and got a million penalties in the race.
And not for the first time. Didn't Ocon have a really good race last time? I can't remember. Sometime recently he had a good race. I don't remember the details now, but he's a bit up and down, isn't he? But at least he's doing something. Gasly's just kind of faded into the background for me. I genuinely can't remember anything he's done this season.
Wait a minute, we haven't talked about the Alpine news.
What Alpine news?
They've been bought by...
I knew there was something we should have stuck on the script. Let's talk about it now.
They've been bought by It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, is that right?
Well, sort of.
Oh, the blokes that beat the football team. It's the blokes that
beat the football team.
The blokes that bought the football team.
That's right.
Yes, the Hollywood people.
Well, I mean, as far as I can tell, this might be a slightly headline-grabbing bit. Basically, an investment group of which Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds are part of has purchased, I think, 24% of Alpine for 200 million... units of currency that I forget. Dollars, euros, pounds? Probably euros.
Probably.
Which is interesting for several reasons. One, because of the obvious success of Wrexham since Reynolds and McElhenney bought them and the associated coverage that they've been getting. But also because it values Alpine at just shy of €1 billion, which is pretty fucking high.
That's mental, isn't it? I mean,
it is.
That
for
is
a relatively midfield team. I don't think it's as straightforward as literally just those two have bought in the way that they bought Wrexham. It's like that is their club.
True.
They are just part of this sort of conglomerate that has a minority stake in it. But it's interesting that they're getting involved.
I mean, it gives a bit more glamour and glitz to Formula One. You know, it's going to get more people interested in the rest of it. But the $1 billion figure is very interesting to me because, if a middling team is now worth $1 billion, which, you know, now they've got all the budgets in control. That was always the thing they said with the budget cap, is that, you know, if you can make teams profitable, their value is going to go through the roof. And it does mean that when Williams was sold to Doralton Capital a couple of years ago for $200 million...
For the whole thing. Yeah.
It does kind of rather imply that Williams, in the way that only Williams can, have managed to fuck up even this open goal.
Means that they have skyrocketed in value.
No. Williams will now also be worth getting on for $1 billion. But what I mean is the Williams family sold, bless them, they've They fucked up like they fucked up every decision about Williams in the last 30 years.
Having said that, Alpine has a, in the short term, better performance than Williams by quite some way. So it could be that Williams are actually still worth $200 million.
I'm just going down every day.
They're now worth $170 million.
How do we owe you money? I don't get it.
They're gonna. Maybe it's a long game by Claire Williams, and she'll actually buy it back for a pound.
Yeah, and then run the team into the ground.
No, yeah. Or win the world championship with
sorry, Ollie's show. Ollie's showbiz friend Claire Williams. I do apologise.
Oh yes, sorry.
Time for some Haas news with Emily Knights.
Haas. Hülkenberg came third in Squally 1. Magnussen was sixth. In Squally 3, Hülkenberg ended up fourth and Magnussen 10th. So it was looking pretty good. Magnussen started from the pit on hard tyres and then after just one lap came straight in for mediums, only to come back in again for hards on lap 2. I think they were just bored. There was an incident again where De Vries pushed him off the track, and even though he made it into the top 10, ended up only 19th. Hülkenberg started 8th and initially gained one place, which he did hold on to until his mandatory pit stop in lap 11. He had a power unit issue shortly after that and had to retire, so his bad luck clearly continues. That also didn't stop them from giving him a track limit warning after he'd retired.
The Haas thing's interesting, I think, at the moment, because they clearly have, over one lap, a really quite a fast car. But the trouble is, it basically uses all the power it can from the tyres and uses it in 3 laps, and then the tyres are dead.
Oh, but for those 3 laps, they are great.
Oh, they are flying. They are flying. Hülkenberg's been right up there in Q3 loads lately.
Yeah, that whole bit in the sprint race where he was like with the Red Bulls, and you just kind of... It all feels a bit Winston's Wish, doesn't it?
I don't know what that means. Is that like a thing for terminally ill children?
Yeah.
Okay. does it?
As in, it feels...
Is something wrong with Hülkenberg that we don't know about?
It just doesn't feel real. It feels like they've let him win a race. Oh, his dying wish was to be second for a few laps in a sprint race.
I mean, I think that Haas should be targeting the sprint races now, because clearly they've got... They've designed the fast car. That's done. That's in the bag. Yeah. Now they need to design a fast car that's faster, that doesn't absolutely shred the tyres within 5 laps. So surely the target's like, right, well, let's see if we can keep it going for 20 laps. That seems a good target. When's the next sprint race? Let's set our development targets based around that. And we'll see if we can... Because he got points, didn't he? Where did Hülkenberg end in the sprint race? He was still top 8, wasn't he? Can't remember now.
Yes. Can't remember.
So that's progress. It's not going to work in the races. Don't worry about that for now. You're going to just go backwards, use it as development, target the sprint races, and then not last will be your reward.
Sixth.
In the team's championship.
He came sixth.
Did he really?
Mm.
Well, there you go.
Well, fuck me.
Which isn't bad.
Christian Horner, if you're listening. That'll be a tenner.
AlphaTauri.
AlphaTauri.
They're AlphaTauri for now. But for how long? Over to Jamie McNaught.
AlphaTauri. I'm pretty sure that Tsunoda and De Vries have a pact to give Helmut Marko an aneurysm to get him first, before he eye up and exit for at least one of them. After his warning, De Vries chose to save his F1 career by heroically qualifying 20th for the race, to which he dribbled out a 17th position finish. He fared slightly better in the shootout and sprint, but both him and Tsunoda were over a minute behind the leader by the end. Tsunoda continued the heroics by losing his front wing, diving into a pinched corner, only outdoing himself by forgetting to brake and nearly skittling half the grid. Is there a benefit for Red Bull to have the second team, or is their upcoming name change one step closer to scrapping them altogether?
Well, I don't think they're going to scrap them altogether, because if we learned anything from an earlier conversation, it's that F1 teams are really expensive now. So at the very least, they could just flog them for £1 billion.
What are they going to call it?
They've got race wins in their history.
What are they going to call it?
I don't know. Something woeful.
Do you reckon it'd be after the sponsor?
No, yeah. I reckon they should call it Rotstier, because Toro Rosso is Red Bull in Italian, and I live in Germany, so it should be Rotstier.
Is that what Red Bull is in Germany?
Rotstier.
Rotstier.
But if you put Red Bull into Google Translate, it says Red Bull.
No, that's a terrible name. They should just go after the biggest sponsor is. They should just call it that, because then
call it the Brexit Party. Then.
Yeah, or like Lidl, just the Lidl car, or like it would just be
don't
funny.
Don't knock Lidl.
I'm not knocking Lidl. I'm just saying it would just be funny.
It is Lidl. Yeah, you're right. You're right, Fitz. Perhaps Lidl.
Mm-hmm. Depends what country you live in. I mean, it's definitely Lidl.
I live in Germany. It's Lidl.
I live in the south, and we're quite pretentious. It's Lidl.
But they should just do that. Name it after the main sponsor. And
they will definitely do that.
Over here, Waitrose is pronounced which is
Waitrose.
We actually have okay. The main supermarket in Germany that isn't Lidl or Aldi is spelt R E W E. How would you pronounce that?
R E W E. R E W D. What did you say?
Raver. Raver.
Yep. Yeah, R E W E.
Rue. Rue.
Reve.
Reve.
Close.
Reve. Once I was with a friend and she was like, oh, we can go to, there's a Reve in the corner. And I was like, oh, that's funny, there's a Rui as well. Talking about the same shop. That's so embarrassing.
Anyway, who are we talking about? AlphaTauri. I don't know what the new name's going to be. I think De Vries is fucked, isn't he?
When Helmut Marko comes out with a quote like, oh, Christian Horner was right, he is shit. I haven't got much confidence in his career. I don't know. Like he literally needs to be one of those AlphaTauri drivers that wins a race. And even that, he'll probably get booted out. But he's going to get.
Yeah, I was going to say he needs an absolute miracle, and I think he needs more than one of them. Never mind. Sod. He'll join the long list of former junior Red Bull drivers.
Can't say we didn't warn him.
No.
Alfa Romeo. Well, also in Austria, we assume.
Probably. Stands to reason that they were there.
All of which takes us to the standings with Terry Saunders.
I went to see Pulp this weekend.
Keeps going on about it.
I mentioned before. Now, you guys haven't known me for long enough, but in my former life as a comedian, I had my 2006 Edinburgh show was called Pulp Boy, and it was a story all about a boy who only spoke in pulp lyrics.
Wow.
So, to recreate a little bit of that story, in the standings, here are the standings if they were pulp songs. So, in number one, which technically is a Jarvis Cocker solo song, is Still Running the World by Max Verstappen. Number two, Something Changed, Sergio Perez. He's not good anymore. Fernando Alonso is number three with Help the Aged. Lewis Hamilton is The Fear with number four. He's getting old. Born to Cry is Carlos Sainz. Razzmatazz is Charlie Clerk with all of his naked pictures. Do you remember the first time is George Russell because he's young. Lance Stroll, obviously Common People. Esteban Ocon with My Legendary Girlfriend. We all know about that. Lando Norris is Babies. Pierre Gasly with His and Hers, also about the same girlfriend as Esteban Ocon. Nico Hülkenberg, After You, No, I Don't Want a Podium. Alexander Albon, I Spy for My Mum. Oscar Piastri, Misshapes, which is a niche joke about Oscar Pistorius. David's Last Summer is Valtteri Bottas and his last season in Formula One. Silence is Yoga New because I've never heard him speak. Yuki Tsunoda is Disco 2000 because dishearteningly Yuki Tsunoda was born in the year 2000.
Oh, God.
And Kevin Magnussen of Suck My Balls fame is This Is Hardcore.
Won't it be strange when Yuki Tsunoda's fully grown?
Oh. And teams, we of course were racing at the Red Bull Ring, so I thought, what would the other teams have named after them? I really wrote this quite soon before we started recording. So first place, the Red Bull Ring. The second is the Mercedes cloak to hide their embarrassment. The third place is the Aston Martin Money Pit. The Ferrari apologising to their driver's stamps, which by that I mean one of those stamps that they're using like lawyers and stuff. So it's just like they just stamp on their hand. Sorry.
Just this, sorry.
The Alpine My First Contract kit after last year's debacle. The McLaren Crystal Ball. The Haas Ball Protection Unit. The Alpha Ladder to climb from irrelevancy. The Williams Bad Financial Decision Award. And the AlphaTauri. Fuck them. They don't deserve anything this year. That's it.
And now, the man of the match of driving.
Esteban
Lando Norris.
Oh.
And now it's time for the State of F1 with Terry Saunders.
It doesn't matter what job you do, if 1,200 of something comes in on a day when you normally get about 4 or 5, then for sure something has gone wrong. If a quiet Wednesday afternoon in a pub suddenly has a jumbo jet full of people turn up outside wanting a steak dinner, you don't blame the hungry diners or the unsuspecting pub, but the local council who allowed that runway to be put next to that pub. Stupid, ignorant podcasts like us used to use their charismatic ex-comedians to vocalise in segments with names like The State of F1 that curing the track limits debacle would be easy. Oh, how wrong I was. But actually, I wasn't, because you're still doing it fucking wrong, F1. To recap, there are white lines around the track which dictate the, what's it called? Track. For years, if you went over the line, it didn't really matter. Cut a corner and you're in shit, drift over the line, what line? Didn't see any line. But this got too egregious, and so now every now and again, in the most Formula One way possible, the drivers would be told that some of the corners you had to stay within the lines, but the other corners? What line? Didn't see any line. And then, people like me said use Hawkeye, have some kind of sensor that triggers if you go over the line, and what happens? It does! 1,200 fucking times! Why? Because the drivers are literally saying, what line? I didn't see any line, my car is too big. And I tell you what, I've had enough. But don't worry, I've got a solution. Go to B&Q and buy some gravel. If there's nowhere to put the gravel, they build a bloody wall. It could be made of super safe, spongy bouncing material, or a fucking hay bale for all I care. I've had enough. The end.
Wow. He's finally cracked.
I've cracked.
You did get, you got very angry.
Stupid fucking Formula One bloody wank. I fixed this problem ages ago.
Well, that's it from
883
us.
883 feet.
Oh, no. No, it's not. No, we've still got more. Actually, no, we're going to carry on. It's not. It's not. We haven't wrapped up yet. No, Terry's got something to say. Go on. What was it? Was it
the good? Titanic was 883 feet long.
Now, that's definitely it from us. It's goodbye to Phil Tromans.
Goodbye. We haven't had time to talk about Bob Fernley, who the former team principal of Force India, who sadly passed away, which is a shame. Too young. Big figure for a long time. Sadly missed.
And to Terry Saunders.
We haven't had time to talk about the thing that I just thought of.
Is it Ron Dennis?
Yes.
Where's Ron Dennis with you, isn't it?
We haven't got time, Phil.
We'll be back next week to discuss the British Grand Prix near the Northamptonshire villages of Toaster and Whittlebury. In the meantime, check out our Facebook page. Why are you laughing at? Facebook.com for F1's sake. And follow us on Twitter at for F1's sake. Terry, where can people buy merch?
FF1S.com/shop.
Thanks for listening. I've been Ollie Peart. Goodbye.
Bye. Thanks, Ollie.
Social Podcast Network.
So, retrospectors, what historical events are we ticking off on this week's run of Today in History?
Well, on Monday, it's the anniversary of the table knife being invented.
On Tuesday, we explain how the tradition of the 2 minute silence originated in Cape Town.
On Wednesday, we recall the day King George III proved he was assassin proof.
On Thursday, let's all eat cake. It's Marie Antoinette's wedding.
And on Friday, we discover how Buffalo Bill helped invent the Wild West.
We discuss this and more on Today in History with the Retrospectors. 10 minutes each weekday, wherever you get your podcasts.